Hello, welcome to this edition of the NAREIT Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on January 21st, 2016. We're going to be talking today with our guest, Malcolm Montgomery of Shearman & Sterling, about the real estate lending markets. Malcolm, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be on. Thank you, Alan.
So, my first question for you is about the commercial mortgage-backed securities market. How would you characterize the expected involvement of CMBS in real estate financing in 2016?
Well, as you may know, Alan, the CMBS market took a precipitous drop during the recession, and it's been continually climbing back out of that trough ever since. The last statistic I saw placed the share of total commercial mortgage issuances by the CMBS originators at about 19% of the total market in 2015. That'd be about $95 billion in total origination. When you compare that to what other lenders are doing, it's, of course, only hovering around the 20% mark. I've seen some pundits suggest that total origination volume from CMBS could reach as high as $125 billion in 2016. One of the challenges there, however, is how the market is going to deal with the new risk retention regulations. These risk retention regulations will become effective in December of this year, and basically they require the originators or a B-piece buyer to retain 5% of the total market value of each issuance and hold that position for at least 5 years. And it's not really clear at all how some of the CMBS originators are going to deal with this new requirement. So the conventional thinking was that 2016 originations in the CMBS world might come out of the box strong because the originators would be looking to maximize volume ahead of the regulations taking effect. However, right now, when you look at the spreads market, there's a lot of volatility, and spreads have been pretty wide. And when you have wide spreads, it allows the banks and insurance companies to come in and compete for the better deals with the CMBS originators. So that's what's been happening in the current market. So we're optimistic that the CMBS market will still hover around the 20% level, maybe even a little higher in 2016. But the jury is still out on how the originators will deal with these new challenging regulations.
And what about the banks? What are your expectations there?
Right. So that leaves the door open for banks. The last statistic I saw on 2015 origination by banks was approximately $290 billion, quite a bit more than the CMBS guys. The banks largely are having a strong start in 2016. We hear from our borrower clients that many of the banks have deals that hung over from 2015 into 2016. I think the same can be said of insurance companies in that regard, because what happened was those lenders had such a strong 2015 that they hit all their targets and were not closing a lot of deals in December. So in January, we're seeing a lot of new closings, and the challenge for the banks, again, similar, honestly, to the CMBS market regulation. I'm a lawyer, so I'll turn it to the legal side. You have new Basel III rules that went into effect in 2015, and those rules apply capital requirements to high volatility commercial real estate loans, and a loan will qualify as a high volatility loan if it doesn't meet certain loan to value and capital contribution requirements. And so it's actually fairly easy for a real estate loan to wind up in the HVCRE bucket. And if it winds up there, then the capital charge to the bank is 50% higher than it otherwise would have been. And so the banks are contending with that. And at the same time, the regulators, the OCC and the other bank regulators came out with a warning in December that they had noticed that commercial real estate concentration levels had risen to fairly high heights at some of the banks. And the warning said that they were encouraging banks to pay special attention to their commercial real estate concentration levels. And they'll be looking to the banks to have some kind of a plan to either reduce those concentration levels, or they'll be asking the banks to raise more capital. And so one of the challenges for the banks, despite a very strong market, is, of course, dealing with the regulators and their expectations. But one other thing that we've seen in our bank representations has been a real opportunity in the current market to originate bridge loans. You may have noticed an article recently in the Wall Street Journal in which the author said now is the perfect opportunity for REITs to sell and invest in their shares because REIT shares have fallen precipitously in anticipation of a rising interest rate environment. And at the same time, the real estate market is very hot and hard asset values are very high. And so some of the REITs are selectively selling their non-core assets and using the proceeds to do things like purchase more shares. The same phenomena that results in that will also push the M&A market because M&A activity may look more attractive. If you can purchase an entire company and obtain all its assets for something approximating what its current share price is in an environment where asset values are high and share prices are low. And with that M&A activity for us comes an opportunity for bridge lending in support of the execution of those deals. And we've seen quite a bit of that in 2015, and we anticipate More of it in 2016 based on the current market conditions.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is that there's still pretty significant demand for lending capital, but with CMBS and the banks dealing with kind of regulatory issues here, presumably this has to open the door for other sources of capital to kind of fill in that gap, right?
That's right. There are two primary other sources of capital. One is insurance companies. They've been quite dominant in 2015 and will remain so in 2016. When thinking about insurance company lending, though the insurers largely want to put money out in a term loan format because they want to invest in a manner that matches their life policy assets. And so you don't see insurance companies doing revolving lending, and they really don't do the high volume of construction lending, and that's the reason. Nonetheless, their market share has been steadily increasing, and we've seen insurers in the current market becoming more creative with their offerings in an effort to compete with the other lending sources. And whereas a few years ago you would never see life companies offering mezzanine debt, for example, it's now a regular occurrence that life companies are originating mezzanine debt positions along with their mortgage loan positions. That being said, we would expect REITs to still largely go to banks as their capital providers on the lending side, because certainly banks offer services that insurance companies do not offer, such as underwriting and corporate credit cards and deposit services, et cetera, that you just can't find in an insurer. And so there may be benefits to the REITs in looking to the banks as lending sources that the insurance companies still can't find a way to compete with.
What about non-bank lenders?
So in addition to the banks and the insurers and the CMBS market, then you get to the non-bank lenders. And in the current high regulatory environment, the banks and CMBS originators really can't be entrepreneurial, let us call it, in their lending structures and execution. And so if you want to lend in a more entrepreneurial way and take more real estate risk in a manner that regulators would frown upon, the only way to do it is to move into a non-bank lender. And so, you know, these will be the private equity and fund companies, and they have less regulatory pressure because they don't raise systemic risk to the country. And so they can underwrite and execute on their loans in a way that's much freer than the highly regulated institutions. And so we're seeing groups that previously had sat in banks move into these non-bank lenders. And they've been quite active and are doing some very interesting lending in the market. And so particularly for construction lending or repositioning financings, the non-bank lenders are the place for the borrowers to go.
Malcolm, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. Remember that you can always visit REIT.com for more on this and other real estate news and analysis. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenny.